ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 15th chapter, titled The Pandava's Retired Family, text number 10. Panyasravadi makakripta mahavishena Slagista charu kabaram kitavai sabayam
Slagista charu
Slagista charu kabaram kitavai sabayam
Slagista charu kabaram kitavai sabayam
Svastam vikirya padayo pati sastru mukhya
Svastam vikirya padayo pati sastru mukhya
Svastam vikirya padayo pati sastru mukhya
Svastam vikirya padayo
Yatta striyo kritaha te sa vimukta kesaha
Yatta
striyo kritaha te sa vimukta kesaha
Yatta striyo kritaha te sa
vimukta kesaha Patnya of the wife
Tava
your Adimaka during the great sacrificial ceremony. Tipta, dressed. Mahabhisheha, greatly sanctified. Slagista, thus glorified. Charu,
beautiful.
So I got a god brother. My name is Charu Chaitanya Prabhu. He's beautiful Chaitanya. Kabaram. Clustered air. Kitavai. By the miscreants. Sabayam. In the great assembly. So this is also a great assembly. Where Krishna is glorified, it is also known as Sabayam. So there, in the Rajasuya sacrifice, Krishna was the main recipient of all the offerings. So Sabayam means the great assembly. Svastam. Being caught. Vikirya. Vikirya. Being loosened. Padaya. On the feet. Patita Ashru Mukhya. Of the one who fell down with tears in the eyes. Ya. He. Tat. There. Shriya. Wives. Akarta. Became. Atahisa, very tapas tense. Vimukta kesa, loosened hair. So, purport by his divine grace. It's a translation. Okay. So, translation. It was he only who loosened the hair of all the wives of the miscreants. Who dared open the cluster of your queen's hair, which had been nicely dressed and sanctified for the great Rajasuya sacrificial ceremony. At that time, she fell down at the feet of Lord Krishna with tears in her eyes. So, purport. Queen Draupadi had a beautiful bunch of hair, which was sanctified in the ceremonial function of the Rajasuya Yagna. But when she was lost in a bed, Dushyasana touched her glorified hair to insult her. Draupadi then fell down at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna decided that all the wives of Dushyasana and the company should have their hair loosened as a result of the battle of Kurukshetra. Thus, after the battle of Kurukshetra, after all the sons and the grandsons of Dhritarashtra died in the battle, all the wives of the family were obliged to loosen their hair as widows. In other words, all the wives of the Kuru family became widows because of the Dushyasana's insulting a great devotee of the Lord. So this is the statement I'm going to read. That's the summary of the purport. So Prabhupada has been saying here, the Lord can tolerate insults upon himself by any miscreants because the father tolerates even insult from the son. But he never tolerates insults upon his devotees. By insulting a great soul, one has to forgo all the results of pious acts and benedictions also. Just by being not favorable to a devotee, one can forgo the results of pious acts and benedictions also. So this is what Srila Prabhupada has concluded. Om Agyana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Guruve Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamani Tatati Svapada Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is quite, he talks about how any offense to the devotees, right, Krishna can tolerate. Sorry, any offense to himself, Krishna can tolerate. But any offense to his devotees, he cannot tolerate. And this all happening because of the rough handling of the hair by Dushyasana. Because Draupadi is also a pure devotee of the Lord. Now, in the Varnashrama system or the Vedic culture, the lady has to be respected well. Otherwise, one has to face dire consequences. The ladies are not respected. So, Matajis or Vaishnavis also has to be respected duly. That is why we have to see how much Srila Prabhupada was so much, what you can say, he was so well respected for the ladies that he started Brahmacharini Ashram in the western countries. This Brahmacharini Ashram is not a Vedic system. Right? If a lady wants to live, then she has to find a partner, husband, and live with the husband. Because ladies always have to be protected from the young age by the father. Later on, you know, when they grow up, you know, by the husband, and later on when they become old by the son, children. So this system is not prevailing in Western countries. So immediately Srila Prabhupada saw this. Right? So because of his care and concern for Vaishnavis, Mataji, Srila Prabhupada started this Brahmacharini Ashram. So we see here in the Mahabharata, great battle Mahabharata, the fight is happening between cousins. Basically, in one sense, you know, it's not between, you know, different, you know, countries or different members, but it's happening within the family members, cousins. Actually, Kuru and Pandavas, you know, they're, you know, cousins, basically. Duryodhana, Dushyasana, Arjuna, Bhima, they're all cousins. So the fight is happening between the cousins. So what is the moral we learn from this? The moral we learn is one has developed a demonic mentality, whereas the other person is a devotee who is favorable to the instructions of the Lord. So same cousins within a family members, but two people have got different notions also. One is favorable to the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the other person is not favorable. So when someone is not favorable to the instruction, we can see, right, in Kali Yuga, the consequences, what it is. So it is said that in Satya Yuga, right, there was also, you know, demons and devotees, but the demons and the devotees were in two different planets. Right? In Satyuga. We see the churning of the demons, right? The churning of the milk ocean by the demons and the devotees, right? So the demons were in one planet, and the devotees or the demigods were in one planet, and they were brought together to churn the ocean of milk. So in Satyuga, they were in different planets. In Treta Yuga, they were in different countries. We see the example of Rama and Ravana, right? Rama was in, you know, in Ayodhya, India, and Ravana was in Sri Lanka, Lanka. So it was in different countries. And in Dwapara Yuga, we see the demonic and the demigod mentality, the devotee mentality, is happening within the same family members. That is why we have the fight, Mahabharata, great Mahabharata fight, that's happening within the family members. But in Kali Yuga, the demon and the demonic mentality is within a same person. You need not have to go to countries or houses. Within the same person, sometimes, you know, we see ourselves, you know, we will be, you know, very, very godly. We come here, Hare Krishna. The next 5 minutes, that's it, we flare up. What do you think? I am the devotee, best devotee. What do you think? This is happening. This is happening, and all of us, we know that. This is because of the Kali Yuga. We are all there. We have to understand one thing, that we are all products of Kali Yuga. We are trying to better things in our life. Okay? So this mentality is there. So we should always remember that this demonic and the demon mentality, the demonic and the devotee mentality, it's always there. Right? It was existing in different planets, different places, different countries, different families, and now within ourselves. So we have to be watchful about it and act on that, because at the end of the day, if you offend a devotee based on that, then we have to face the consequences. The consequences has to be faced by the living entity, because he is the one who is doing the action. Action, reaction. So knowingly or unknowingly, if you do something, we have to bear it. That is why we have to be very, very careful and cautious. Now, this battle of Kurukshetra is arranged by the will of the Lord. Why? Because such a mass annihilation of people cannot happen without the sanction of Lord. Right? Someone may kill one person and after some time he'll be put in the jail. But if you keep, you know, it was told, I think somewhere I read, Kurukshetra is around 1 billion people or something over that scale. Isn't it? Anyone know the thing? It's over 1 billion soldiers, and all the other members died, you know. Imagine such kind of mass destruction. Right? So this cannot happen without the sanction of the Lord. Everything happens by the sanction of the Lord, right? Why did it happen? Why did the Lord sanction such a, you know, killing of so many people? Because
insult to
Draupadi, that is one of the reasons. There are many reasons. So what's happened is, when Lord was personally present, okay, there were many kings all over the world. Because it was world, we are not talking about India, because at the time the whole world was there, you know. And what happened was, there were many kings, you know, who had very high proud of their position. What are the position? The position is well education followers. This is the position. And because of that, they wanted to also show their military strength by killing innocent people. This is what happened actually. You know. So they were puffed up and they had the military strength and they want to harass the innocent. So Krishna was watching all that, right? Don't think that the Lord is not seeing all that. He's seeing all that. So what was the Lord's plan? He wanted all the kings to come together in a battle of Kurukshetra and once for all kill them. So it's easier for him. You know, Krishna is very intelligent, clever, right? He does not want one by one. Okay, I make a plan such that all the miscreants come together and then once for all, one shot, finish it off. Going down, sir. So once for all, we'll finish it off. And that was why the Lord arranged the battle of Kurukshetra. And other reason was, as Duryodhana and his party, you know, including Dushyasana, he pulled the Draupadi and basically insulted a woman, you know, who was a pure devotee of the Lord. And so many other things also. So the Lord thought, yes, this is the best time, you know, we will fix them up, you know. And then Arjuna was also advised by the Lord that you take the credit, because when the Lord does something, he does not want the credit for himself. We have seen that. So he said, Arjuna, you take the credit, okay? Because anyway, you know, I'm the Supreme Lord, you know, I'll get the credit automatically. But you credit, you do the credit by doing and killing the miscreant, so that you will be benefited also by listening to Krishna's instruction. And so that was why Duryodhana and his party was killed anyway. But otherwise also, Duryodhana and his party will be killed anyway. That was the Lord's plan. Because if someone offends the Lord's devotee, they will be annihilated. Right? So why they'll be annihilated? Someone? Because Krishna has got a mission statement, right? All the companies have got mission statement. What are the companies' mission statement? To become the leading successful producer in 2013, and for the next 10 years, we want to be the number one company in Australia. That's the mission statement of every company. So Krishna has also got a mission statement. Not Krishna has got, it has come from Krishna basically, you know. So what is Krishna's mission statement? In Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Krishna says, you know, it's a 3-point mission statement. One is paritranaya sadhunam, to protect the devotees or saintly person. That's the first point. And then comes vinashaya cha druskritam, to kill the miscreants. That is number 2. And then dharma samstapanartaya, to establish the religious principles again and again. Because when demons are there, they try to put down the religious principles. So devotees, they have, will uphold the principles. So that is the third one, which is happening sambhavami yuge yuge. Every millennium, millennium after millennium, Krishna said, I will not be tired. Whenever any insult to the devotee is made, I will be there. And I will be punishing the miscreants. And 3, I will be establishing the religious principles millennium after millennium, not year after year, you know, everywhere. So, Draupadi, we have to understand, first of all, one may think, you know, there are so many things, abuses happening for the women, right, these days. Recently also in India, you might have heard, you know, some of the people might have heard, one lady was gang raped in Delhi, the capital of India, by about 5 people. She was going in a bus innocently with a boyfriend or whatever you call. So she took the private bus at 9 o'clock or 9:30 in the evening, you know. So she never knew, right? First of all, a lady in a Vedic system, it says that a lady should not go away after the house, you know, in the away from the house in the evening. First of all, she should be in the house. She should not go. But because, you know, so many, you know, things have changed, technology, Kali Yuga, everything. Anyway, the point being, you know, she left home, or she was coming from college or whatever maybe. 9:30 she boarded a private bus. Right? There are only 5 people. So she thought that all the 5 people were passengers. But they were one in one, you know, they were all, you know, members of the same bus group. So they had offended her and all that, and this boyfriend was also trying to help, and both were you know, punished, kicked and all that, and they were thrown out of the bus, moving bus. This has happened somewhere in the second week of December, and then third week, in 2 weeks time she died. Now that has become a very uproar in India, you know what I mean? Now the government is thinking, yes, protection should be given for women. So what they are doing in all the Delhi metropolitan, they are implementing all police constables and SI, sub-inspectors, police. So there are about 2,500 police, women police, taking charge of Delhi with their, you know, subordinates. And so many other things they are doing. But everything they are doing for the soul, body, right? They are doing for the body. Not that they should not do. But this is a very, what you call, a very, very short-term plan. Again, what happened? Some other calamity will come in the material world. It will come. And then they have to find out some other way. So this is like a patch-up situation. So what's a permanent situation? The permanent situation is trying to educate people that you are not this body but spirit soul. And when a person thinks that he's a spirit soul, when a person knows that he's spirit soul, automatically he will divert his attention to Krishna. See, as long as there is a body, the needs of the body has to be met. Right? You got the senses, Krishna explains. What is body? Body is nothing but it is made up of 10 senses. 5 working senses and 5 knowledge occurring senses. Right? You got a 5 knowledge occurring, 5 working senses. Now these senses is demanding. Right? Senses means it will be attracted to the sense object. You cannot stop that. Krishna explains to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The mind senses are attracted to the sense object. The sense objects are lodged in the mind. In that way, there is a mutual relationship between the mind and the sense object. See? It's already there. It cannot separate. You cannot separate. And moreover, our mind, from time immemorial, this kind of attraction is there. How can you separate in one day, 2 days? Senses will be attracted to the sense object. You cannot separate that within a day. This has been existing from time immemorial. Right? But this kind of attraction can go away very easily when a person is given knowledge, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, so that they understand they are the spirit soul. And once they understand that they are spirit soul, attachment for the body goes away automatically. You do not have to do anything, you know. Naturally it goes. And how to know that you are a spirit soul? By doing devotion service. What we are doing basically is, we are not doing any extra things. Eye is seeing Krishna and Krishna's pure devotee. Ear is listening to Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna's glories. Tongue is chanting and taking prasadam. The hands and the legs are walking to the temple and doing service. Automatically your senses are controlled. We are not doing any magic here. Risikesha sevanam bhakti uchyate. Devotional service means offering your senses in the service of the master of the senses. So by offering your senses, simply, this is what we are doing. We are not doing anything extra. We are eating. We are still, you know, the body senses are being met. Okay? We are eating, we are sleeping, we are hearing everything. But it is ductile to Krishna's pleasure. And then automatically the senses are controlled. Because Srila Prabhupada says, impure mind thinks that he is a body. Pure mind thinks he is a soul. So everything is happening impure mind because of the contamination of the 3 modes of material nature. Everything is happening, you know, 3 modes of material nature, which is in one sense a nasty one. It will not leave you also. It's a maya, the Lord's illusory energy. Trapping an individual, a soul, and identifying him, making him to misidentify himself as a matter. A spirit soul misidentifies himself as matter, as body, and enjoys the matter. And how he will be happy? He will never be happy. A spirit soul can never find happiness in matter. This is what happening. This is how it is happening, is because of the illusory, under the spell of Maya. This can happen only under the spell of Maya. So, our duty is to withdraw from Maya. So, to the extent a person is Krishna conscious, he is free from Maya. To the extent a person realizes that he is spirit soul, his attachment for the body is less. Or his attachment for the matter is less. Body is what? Matter. What is body? Body is made up of false ego. Krishna explains in the 3rd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The body is made up of false ego and 5 sense objects. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. That's it. Everywhere false ego is there. Okay? Earth, water, fire, air, ether and false ego, Brahma combines and makes this beautiful body. Then, what are the senses? Senses is false ego and mode of passion. That is why when you see something, you want it again and again, again and again, again and again, even though you are not satisfied. You will never be satisfied because the spirit soul can never be satisfied in matter. So the senses wants, you know, for example, whatever may be drinking, coffee, cigarette or something. When you give a senses little bit of pleasure, it will never stop. It wants again and again. How? Krishna says in chapter 3 that it's a lust. The lust, there's the fire of lust is created, and the moment you put it, it wants again and again. Fire cannot be stopped by pouring ghee. It has to stop automatically. Even if you put water, so sense gratification is like throwing water on fire. It apparently looks that it's going to stop, but it will never stop. It will blow up again. So this is what is happening. Right? So senses, we cannot stop, you know, the senses. Senses have to be active. But instead of focusing towards a material object, the focus towards spiritual objects. We are seeing Krishna rather than seeing a Bollywood movie. We are rather than saying some Bollywood songs or something, we are hearing Krishna Katha, taking nice prasadam. So where is the question of, you know, sense lacking there? Senses should be controlled. Otherwise there is some problem with the sadhana. Senses has to be controlled. Right? If one does it seriously, that's what the Lord is saying. If one does it seriously. And then, because I said that the senses is a combination of false ego and the mode of passion. Mode of passion means what? Unlimited desire. Unlimited desire. You give that, I want this. I want this. Where is the end for it? Unlimited. And that too matter. A spirit soul wants matter. Okay? But the spirit soul, in contact with the supreme soul, is very happy. A tiny insignificant soul, how much can he achieve? How much can he achieve? I'm a tiny insignificant soul, right? Because there are billions of people. I'm one speck of the Lord. How much can I enjoy? In a tiny insignificant way, I can enjoy. But this tiny insignificant soul, if it is connected to the supreme soul, how much more can I enjoy? Okay? So as long as you enjoy miserly in a tiny insignificant way, you can enjoy only very little, very flickering happiness. But this tiny insignificant soul, if it is connected to the supreme soul, the enjoyment is also more. Happiness is more. And then the mind is a combination of false ego and mode of goodness. So if the mind is, that's what Srila Prabhupada says, the impure mind thinks he is a body. Pure mind thinks he is a soul. So just by doing devotion service, if all the sense objects are fed Krishna, then the mind is clean. When the mind is clean, then it comes to the mode of goodness. And mode of goodness is very, very good for spiritual realization. Because again Krishna advises Uddhava. Krishna gives a lot of advice in 11th canto. It's worth seeing. Lord is saying, when someone is, say, enjoying the senses, right? All these materialistic people. They are in the mode of passion and ignorance. So Krishna says, mode of passion and ignorance is very difficult to control. You cannot control on your own. So with the mode of goodness, you control first mode of passion and ignorance. Then you come to the mode of goodness. From the mode of goodness, you do devotion service and then you realize you are the soul. Suddenly you will not realize you are the soul, you know, just by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Once you chant, you will not realize. It's a process. So first, with the process of Hare Krishna chanting and devotion service, you have to conquer the lower modes. We have got lower modes. Why? Why even a devotee has also got lower modes? Because Krishna explains in 14th chapter, three modes of material nature, that there's a competition between the three modes. The modes of material nature will not keep quiet. There's a competition. Sometimes the mode of goodness defeats the mode of passion and ignorance. Sometimes ignorance defeats goodness and passion. Passion defeats goodness and ignorance. So that is why sometimes we are in the mode of goodness, sometimes mode of passion, sometimes mode of ignorance. This is going on. So with the mode of goodness, you conquer the lower modes, passion and ignorance. Then you are situated in the mode of goodness. And then you do devotion service. You cannot just jump into devotion service. Systematically you have to do. So when you, because why it is there? When you are in the mode of goodness, the mind is steady. What is mode of goodness? Mode of goodness means knowledge and sense control. Absolute sense control and knowledge. Then the mind is very pure and clean. And with that, if you do devotion service, you realize that you are a spirit soul. And then it is easy. Very, very easy. Then you know, oh, I have moved from a big contamination to this side. Questions later, please. So, this is what is happening to the Lord. He's saying very clearly, right? So, we have to bring the mind to the mode of goodness. Because anyway the mind is a combination of false ego and mode of goodness. But if you do the sense objects and if you enjoy the senses, the mind will degrade to mode of passion and ignorance. And then Krishna says, if you are in the mode of passion and ignorance, forget it, devotion service. They will never come. See the example, you know. Go outside and see everywhere. they will never come. So the mind has to come up for that chanting process. So we eat the prasadam for purifying the body. That is why we take prasadam. Mind for sense control. And Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita for the intelligence. So if the body is purified, senses by eating prasadam, if the mind is controlled by chanting 16 rounds, and the intelligence is purified by Srimad Bhagavad Gita, then Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita how a soul is like a passenger sitting in a chariot. The intelligence is a driver. The senses are the horses. And the mind is a rope or a rein. So what happens? Intelligence, the driver, he sits. He takes the mind in his hand. He's controlling the horses. And the vehicle is going, chariot is going on a proper road. And the soul is inside, happily sitting. But for other people, what is happening? The senses are not controlled. So the horse is going everywhere. One horse is going that side. One horse. How can a mind control? So that fellow is, you know, he's shivering basically. He's going this side. If you see a movie, I want to see a movie. You see a bakery, I want to eat a cake. Oh, I want to see that beautiful thing. So it is going. So the horses are going. So the person who's controlling, he is finished. And the intelligence is also gone. There's no intelligence. Krishna says in again chapter 3, only the lust is the biggest enemy of the conditioned soul. The love of Godhead is transferred into lust in the material world. So the love of Godhead is transferred as lust in the material world. This lust can be curbed only by spiritual intelligence. The Lord is saying, with material intelligence, you may be a computer engineer, you may be a PhD in chemistry, right? You may be an MD doctor, doesn't matter, who cares? Nothing, zero. We are all zeros in front of him. Only Krishna is the one. As long as you put 1,000 zeros, no value. But if you put that one, then the zero has got value. So Krishna says, only by spiritual intelligence you can curb the mind. Because again Krishna gives a hierarchy in chapter 3. The sense object, the senses, the mind, the intelligence and the soul. So unless you clean the mind, unless you read, you will not know the soul. It's a systematic process. Krishna is explaining, you know, first you control the senses. Mind will be controlled by chanting 16 rounds. Then you read Srimad Bhagavad Gita, then intelligence will be controlled. Then you practice and then you realize you are the soul. Right? Realizing soul is not enough. The science of self-realization, to know that you are the spirit soul and not the body. For that there is a process you have to do sincerely and purely. And then once you know that you are the soul, 24 hours happiness. It is not 1 second happiness. 24 hours happiness. Because this material happiness, senses, attraction is flickering. Right? But spiritual happiness is permanent. Why? Because Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Devotion, he says there are three kinds of happiness. First happiness, Rupa Goswami says, yes, there is material pleasure, but it's flickering. How it is? Say there is a big forest fire. Material enjoyment is compared to a forest fire. In this forest fire, big forest fire, you put one or two drops of water, will it be okay? The lusty thoughts, lusty desire is so much, you cannot satisfy with one drop. Right? So there is some pleasure. But what happens? The moment you enjoy, you have to suffer. That is how it is determined. The moment you enjoy, suffering will come. Right? You cannot avoid that. That is what is happening in the material world. That is the first kind of happiness. The second kind of happiness is what? To realizing that you are the spirit soul. In that happiness, you know, you realize and you are really happy, you know, it is much above the material happiness and the happiness is a lasting one. Right? So that is the second happiness when you realize that you are a spirit soul. Always happy. Now above that, Rupa Goswami says, when the soul attaches to or when the soul is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, that is the highest happiness. It cannot be compared. Rupa Goswami says, cannot be compared. So spirit soul, when it is engaged in the loving service of the Lord, that is the highest happiness. So we can feel the glimpses, right? But if we systematically do it, definitely we'll get the full result. So Draupadi, as I was talking, is not an ordinary woman. She was born out of fire. So how powerful she should be, you know. She was born out of fire. So his father did a sacrifice and son Drishyadrumna and Draupadi also came, and it is such a powerful lady she is. And when you handle the lady, you know, by this way, definitely there is a reaction. So today, you know, to conclude, what we'll do, we'll have the two stories, you know, because in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the Lord can tolerate insults upon himself by any miscreants, because the father tolerates even insults from the son, but he never tolerate insults upon his devotees. So Srila Prabhupada has mentioned this, so it has to be true, right? So to prove this statement, I just picked up two stories, right? The first story is Shishupal, and the second one is Ambarish Maharaj. Why I picked up Shishupal is, as all of you know, Shishupal was offending Krishna verbally, right? Directly, there is no devotee involved. Because what happened, Shishupal is supposed to marry Rukmani. But Rukmani did not want to marry Shishupal, obviously, because he's a demon. She wants to marry Krishna because she has heard about Krishna from Narada Muni. When Narada Muni visits his father's chamber, he used to glorify Krishna. So she has developed a liking without even seeing Krishna. She has developed a... Like that also, we also, you know, by hearing about the Lord in Srimad Bhagavatam classes, we can also develop the same kind of attachment. It is not that one has to see the Lord. By hearing about Krishna, our love for Krishna has to develop. That is why Srila Prabhupada started the Srimad Bhagavatam class. And there, so Shishupala was quite angry because, you know, Krishna basically, Rukmani wanted Krishna to basically take her. And Krishna did that, right, to please the devotees. And then Shishupala was quite angry with that. So he was quite upset and he wanted to, you know, really take revenge on Krishna. So he was waiting for an opportunity. Now this was a time when Rajasuya sacrifice was declared by Maharaj Yudhishthira, right? There's a sacrifice for the well-being. Now he did it in his Indraprastha, that's the capital of Hastinapur, right? In the Indraprastha, it was the place. Now when Rajasuya sacrifice was performed, now everyone, you know, said that Krishna should be given the honor because he is a chief guest, right? So all the sacrifice offering has to be centered around Krishna. But Shishupal did not agree, right? He said that Krishna is just a coward boy. Why should you glorify him? And his morality is not good. You know about, you know, he's kidnapped. Because he kidnapped Rukmini, he said, you know, Krishna's morality is not good. So one should not, you know, glorify the Lord, Krishna. So he was, but everyone else did not approve. They said no Krishna, and finally they made Krishna as the chief honor, you know, MC, master of ceremony. And then what happened? Shishupala kept on offending the Lord, you know, insults after insults. Oh, he's a coward boy. What do you think, he's born there? He was born for one parent and then he went there. You know, his childhood is not good. That one after another. Then everyone got up, even Bhima. And all the, you know, Pandavas, and then Bhishma also got angry at one stage. All the sages, 70% got upset. They said, you know, and Balaram also was there. He said, come on, if you don't stop, I'll kill. But Krishna said, wait, let him talk and all that. Because there's a story behind that. What happened when Shishupal was born? Shishupal and Dandavakra, right? They're the demons, you know. Because when Jaya and Vijay were cursed to come down to this material world, they were given an option, whether 7 life as a devotee or 3 life as demons. They accepted the 3 life as demons. The first one was Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. The second was Ravana and Kumbhakarna brothers. And the third one is Shishupal and Dandavakra. So Vasudeva, Krishna's father, had 2 sisters, and they were born to one of them, each one of them, you know, one. So they were also cousin brothers basically. Now Shishupal, when he was born, Krishna had gone once to visit him. Right? When Shishupala, he was born, he had 4 hands and 3 eyes. Like a kind of a, you know, scary person. 4 hands. See, Lord has also got 4 hands. But looking at the 4-handed form of Vishnu Dudas is very pleasant. But Shishupala was kind of a, you know, ugly kind of a 4 hands. And 3 eyes also. Then a celestial voice appeared in the voice, and it said, whoever takes his child and puts on the lap, now the extra hands and the eyes will disappear, and that person is a cause for this boy's death, because that person will kill this boy. Then his mother was quite anxious, you know, I don't know who will, you know, but anyway, you know. So whenever anyone comes, you know, she will ask a child and they put on the lap and nothing happened. Once when Krishna visited his aunt, then the aunt gave the child Shishupal. Then Krishna put on the lap and the two hands and eyes disappeared. Then the aunt knew, okay, he is the one who is going to kill my child, you know. Anyway, the mother will have affection for the child. And then the mother said, you know, please, you know, for, spare him, you know. Give him some life. You know, he is my son. And Krishna said, no, I can't do it. But what I could do is I can modify it such that I can tolerate 100 offenses from him, 100 insults. But if he crosses the 101st insult, then I have to kill him like that. Then the mother agreed. But he said, oh, 100 offenses, I don't think he will do it. He will learn, you know. People do a mistake, they learn like that. But so happened that Shishupal, the Rajasuya, he kept on, one after another, you know, blaming the Lord. What will happen, you know? Then 100 over, then Krishna warned, you know, your quota is over. That's it, you cannot even talk. Then Shishupal, such a fool, he's a rascal only. He's saying, what you can do to me? He's saying, you know, because he has seen Dandavakra, he's seen many of his friends, you know, including Jarasandha also killed, you know, but still he's talking. See, these are the demons, you know, they never change. And then Krishna said, one more offense, you know, insult he had. And then Krishna took the Sudarshan Chakra and chopped off. And then people could see that the soul could come out of the Shishupal and merged into Krishna. And then they were liberated. And then they went back to Jayan, as Jaya and Vijay. See, in the first avatar, when they became as Hiranyaksha, in the Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, he was killed by Varaha avatar. They did not go back to Godhead. In the second lifetime, they became Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Rama killed, so they had a better birth to see Krishna. Then when Krishna killed, they went back to Godhead. So whoever is in contact with Krishna will go back to Godhead. That's what the lesson also we can learn. And the second story, all of you know. So what the point, what I'm trying to say is, if someone offends Krishna, they will not, in case if they offend due to some mistake or something, Krishna can tolerate. We have seen that in the case of Shishupal, right? Basic, you know, verbal, and Krishna kept quiet. And of course, he had his reaction. But in the case of Ambarish Maharaj, everyone knows, right? To make the story cut into short, Ambarish Maharaj was a great devotee, pure devotee of the Lord. He used all the senses in the service of the Lord. Every senses, eyes he will see only Lord. Here he will hear only Krishna Katha. Tongue only Krishna Prashadam chanting. Hand he will use for cleaning the Lord's hand. Legs he will walk to the temple. Every senses Ambarish Maharaj used for Krishna service. So he is completely controlled. All the sense of only Krishna will be entering into the sense object. Nothing else. So he's top class and a pure devotee of the Lord. Once Durvasa Muni came to him, right? He's supposed to offer. That is again Duryodhana's plan. Because Duryodhana once told, what Duryodhana did was, he took Durvasa Muni, he gave him a nice prasadam. And Durvasa Muni was happy. Then he said, why can't you visit Pandavas? You know? So that... this is a different one. Okay. Sorry, I'm confused with that. So once Durvasa Muni came to Ambarish Maharaj, he supposed to give him... he offered him some prasadam. Ambarish Maharaj said... Durvasa Muni said, no, I will go and take bath and come. So when... and he took a while for him. So during the time, there was Ekadeshi like us, you know. Yesterday was Ekadeshi, we are supposed to break the fast. Now it so happened that Ambarish Maharaj was waiting for Durvasa Muni to come, and the time is almost running short. So if he doesn't break the fast, then you will not get the full fruits of happiness, the fruits of action for the Ekadeshi. You will not get the full benefit. So he consulted his scholars and Brahmins, and they suggested that you take a sip of water. It is like breaking, it's not breaking. But Durvasa Muni, he knew that. Oh, Ambarish Maharaj is a king. You know, he called me for a prasadam and he's eating before me. So he cursed him. So what I'll do is, he pulled a hair from his head and made a fiery demon to kill Ambarish Maharaj, such a devotee of the Lord. Now immediately what happened, the Lord sent the Sudarshan Chakra. Immediately. So the Sudarshan Chakra immediately killed the fiery demon, and then it was chasing Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni is a big mystic yogi. So what he did immediately, first he went to Brahma. Brahma said, I cannot do anything. Vishnu's, you know, Satra, I cannot do. Then he went to Lord Shiva. Then Shiva said, I cannot do anything. Then he went to Vaikuntha, to Lord Vishnu himself. Vishnu said, I cannot do, my Sudarshan is not under my control. It is the control of my devotees. So you first, take pardon, for your reaction from Ambarish Maharaj. So immediately Dhruvasa Muni came back and fell at the lotus feet of Ambarish Maharaj, and the Sudarshan went. So this is the power of the pure devotee. So Krishna, as Prabhupada said, Krishna will not tolerate offense at the lotus feet of the devotee. Now to add on to that, what is the lesson we learn from Ambarish Maharaj? The lesson is pride. Sometimes people get this, even we talked about Kurukshetra, wealth. Some may have some wealth, some education, some followers and some beauty. That's it. They'll have pride. So if they have pride, what happens? They think that I have got something which others do not have. I have got money and education which you don't have. So what happens? Pride. With the pride they try to insult. But we have to be very careful what we do. So insult is something and it ends up in this kind of a problem. So pride is a basic root cause. And how does the pride come? Because of the false ego. What is the false ego? Thinking that I am mine. Anything you think, this is I. And anything related to the body, my wife, my child, my thing, my, I and mine, is false ego. So if you eradicate that, then that is a good thing. It is not easy as such to do it, but it is a systematic way. And once you eradicate, it will be good. Okay, finally, one point, last point, which I thought it's quite good. Now with regard to how the three births they took, right, demons, Jaya and Vijay. The first, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and then Dandavakra and Shishupal. Now they all symbol the material lust, anger, greed, etc. So one has to forgo all the six enemies. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion. Then you will get Krishna. So what does Hiranyakashipu represent? Hiranyakashipu represent anyone? Hiranyakashipu represents pride. When you have pride, he wants to conquer and he wants to act funny, So Hiranyakashipu represents pride. Hiranyaksha, greed. He wants to have more. He put the world out of orbit, Imagine. Nowadays we have got demons, who can kill. But Hiranyaksha, such a demon, he put the world out of orbit. He pushed the world into the Garbhagatha ocean. See the power, The Lord has to come and such kind of demons were there. Krishna has to handle them. Now he is greed. Then Ravana. Everyone knows. Lust. And then Kumbhakarna. Illusion. All the time sleeping. So all the time if a devotee sleeps, it is, they have to take some rest, but not illusion. Then Dandavakra, anger. So Dandavakra is another story, we don't have time. And Shishupala is envy about Krishna. So all these demons represent these. So if you remove all that, then you will have Krishna. So what are they once again? Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion. All the six. But the root cause, it starts from lust. What is lust? Lust means thinking that I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. Srila Prabhupada gives 2 points. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Right? Lording it over the material universe. Lording it over the universe. I am the controller. And through enjoyment through the senses. This is what is lust. Okay? We'll stop here. Sorry. Again, any questions, comments, corrections?
Just to end on the story of Shishupala, when Krishna killed Shishupala with the Sudarshan Chakra, because he became so angry at that time, that the Sudarshan Chakra got released and his finger was injured. So Draupadi at that time gave a piece of sari entirely to Krishna's finger. And then Krishna said that I will pay you back for all the threats you have by my finger.
That's why he's giving unlimited cloth. But why will the Lord the hand get
injured? He got injured when Vishnu also was
the pure devotees understand. But in the case of Shishupal, is other side.
He's
on
the,
But Sudarshan's own chakra will not hurt the Lord, isn't it? One sense. No? I don't know. I know it's technical. I don't. We have to find out from Bhanu Maharaj or something, right? Because the Lord's own paraphernalia will not hurt the Lord. But there should be some Lord, you know, has a plan. You know what I mean? We don't know. It's tiny, it's insignificant, so cannot understand that. Therefore, thank you.
Two comments. Number one is, even goodness, here compassion is binding. So we have to be pure goodness.
Yeah.
Excellent devotional service, we should be pure goodness.
But how do you go to pure goodness?
From goodness.
Yes. Right? So from goodness.
We have to share goodness, then
you
have to go to pure goodness.
I said, devotion service is pure goodness. Vasudeva Sattva.
And second point is, Krishna wanted to give Bhagavad Gita also.
Yes.
Therefore, another reason why Mahabharata.
That's true. See, that's right, Prabhu. So, the first point, you know, you're right. Goodness, devotion service means automatically you're on pure goodness. Devotion service, you know, but you should be placed on the goodness. And then if you practice, then you will attain pure goodness, right? For example, I drove the car, you know, from my house to here. Once I come to the temple, I don't need the car. But by from house to here, I need the car. So you need mode of goodness to come here. So mode of goodness is easier for Krishna consciousness. And once you come, you practice that, you become mode of goodness, then you don't need the car. Only when I go back, I need. Because material. So it is like that. It's a platform which helps you out. But without car I cannot come. Without mode of goodness, it's very difficult, you know, because as long as you are here, you will be devotees. The moment you go outside, the three modes of material nature will harass you. At that time, which mode will you take shelter of? As devotees, right? Suppose
you have come to the temple of the car, but still you will be shifted after coming to the temples. So you have to be in pure goodness.
After coming to the temple, what?
You can do mischief. Some mischief can be just. In spite of everything, still, there is a chance you can do something which will not be done.
Yes, that is right. So one has to be very careful also. Yeah, one has to be very careful. Yeah. One has to be careful with all the dealings, you know, with the devotees. And one has to. And also, one has to use their intelligence in acting. One should not act based on impulse, you know. Impulse means three modes of material nature, you know, without intelligence.
What is it? Spiritual intelligence.
Yeah. Spiritual intelligence. Intelligence. You know, it's very, very important that one acts on that, rather than acting whimsically. Because what happens, when you act on impulse, you immediately do a mistake, and then you realize and you apologize. But instead, if you act, you know, on the mode of goodness, you think, you know, because intelligence means to differentiate between right and wrong. Right? Mind means, mind wants attraction, you know. Mind just goes, I want it, grab it. That's what mind knows. So if a person is above mind, intelligence, then he can discriminate between good and bad, and then do the good thing and leave the bad thing. So one should work. Okay, we'll stop here. Gantra, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada.